Thank you all so much for being here today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is such a treat to be with people that are excited about Jesus. And the first thing that I just want to tell you is I did not pick out my picture. But I want to thank whoever did that. Holy smokes, that was 10 years ago, a pandemic. And lots of changes is all I'm going to say because we're being recorded right here. But when I pulled that up, I was like, the lady at the front desk did not know me. It was awesome. She said, your hair's different. I was like, a lot's different. Yeah. But welcome. We are so glad to be with you all today. I love it when God's people get together and they brainstorm. And that's why we're here at Reach. We want to sharpen each other and see how we can reach the lost better. And so thank you for the miles that you drove. Thank you for the things that you gave up to be here. We all know, because we read the Bible, that God uses ordinary people and he gets glory when he uses ordinary people. And so I'm excited to tell you that he's going to get some glory today. Because I'm from Jerry Bottom. Do you all know where that is? Jerry Bottom. It's in Huddy, Kentucky. You don't know where that is either. But I am a 60-year-old girl from Jerry Bottom who wears Crocs. Okay? I wore them in, but I don't have them on now. But God can still use me, even though I'm different. He can use me to reach the lost. And we all have different ideas. And we can, like I said, sharpen each other. I will be praying at the end that the Lord will set us on fire. But I mean, spiritually, you know what I mean. Not, yeah. I know CPR, but I don't know a lot of fire treatment. And so we've already prayed. So now, at the beginning of every Baptist meeting, we start with a song, right? Right? And we're, most of us are Baptists, so I want us to sing the very first song about evangelism we ever learn. Can anybody think of what it is? First song. Oh, hold it up. Hold it up. I'm not kidding. Okay? Okay? We're going to sing like at least three verses, maybe four. Don't know about the fourth one. Okay, let's do it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This let it shine. Keep going, it stressed me out. I've practiced it. Okay, what's the next verse? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What's the next one? That's exactly right. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now we got one more, okay, because this is why we're here. All around the neighborhood, does that work? Okay, let's do it. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So Teresa Parrott and Scytha are just thinking, I cannot believe we did that. But we learned about evangelism years and years ago. We will sing another later, but that was so profound. We are here so that we can remember to let our light shine. My husband is the pastor at Fitzpatrick Baptist Church, and he has been there for over 19 years, and they are precious people. I'm not saying that just because we're being recorded. It's the truth. Our precious deacon's wives have been texting me, praying for you. I had an alarm set because they're praying that the Lord will get glory and that I won't screw this up, okay? But I want to tell you a story about one of our deacon's wives and see if we can apply it to why we're here. When my family first moved to Fitzpatrick, one of our precious deacon's wives named Leah Dane made us a banana bread, okay? And she sliced it and she wrapped it in foil. And so we had that to take with us. We lived in a trailer a few miles way past the church. And so you know how you are on Sunday morning, you are starved to death. It doesn't matter what you've had for breakfast, you're starved to death. Before we had even cleared the parking lot, my family had ripped that foil open and they're eating it and and they're moaning and they're going on like it was the best thing they had ever had. And I got really jealous. I was like, I don't want another woman making my family moan and go on like that. I mean, it was not holy in any way. So I decided I'm going to beat Leah Dane at the banana bread game. And so I got every recipe I could find. I'm sure y'all have never done anything like this, and I'm so proud of y'all. But I'm just hoping that the Lord can use my sinful testimony. So I got every banana bread recipe that I could find. And I was going to beat Leah Dane at the banana bread game. And so I had Alabama cookbooks. I had a Missouri cookbook. I had a fire department from Belfry's cookbook. I mean, I had tons. You know how you collect cookbooks? Well, I made them all. And my husband finally said, "Are you trying to kill us?" And I said, "No." But I didn't tell him what was going on. So I went to Leah Dane and I confessed. She thought it was funny. But I confessed my sin. I was really super jealous that you were making my family go on and on about your banana bread. So she gave me the recipe. In fact, she gave anybody that wanted it the recipe. And it was just simple stuff, you know, but it was just the right mix of the stuff. The only thing was it had a secret ingredient. And she never told the secret ingredient. Everybody tried to guess it. I guessed about 40 things wrong. And she would just giggle. She actually put it in the church cookbook without the secret ingredient. And she would give it to anybody, and people would think they knew it, but they didn't. But she never told anybody. She didn't tell me, and I was her pastor's wife. She didn't tell her best friend. Nobody knew what the secret ingredient was. So that went on for about 10 years. And then suddenly, her husband, who was a precious pastor helper, if you're a pastor's wife, you know what I'm talking about, just a pastor helper, encourager. He died suddenly on July 4th, 1 year after the fireworks. And so we were at the funeral home, and I don't know how you all do funeral visitation, but in the mountains, we sit around for hours. And our goal really, ultimately, is probably to make everybody laugh because it's such a somber, sad time. And so there sat Leah Dane on the front row, and her sister was with her, and it was just real quiet. And so I don't know what I was doing, but I asked her whole family right there, and Mike is in the casket right here. And I said, "Have I told you all about the time that I was jealous of Leah Dane?" And she's a lot older than me. And she was about 20 years older than me, and they were like alarmed. They were like, "Why were you jealous of Leah Dane?" So I told them, I said, "My family, she made banana bread." And they went, "Oh yeah, we know about the banana bread." And I said, "I was so jealous. I didn't want her cooking that for my family." And so I told them the whole story. So that night she went home and she told her sister that she was going to tell me the secret ingredient. But 3 days later, she was rushed to the hospital. She wrote it down on a little white piece of paper and she was going to give it to me the next time she saw me. 3 days later, she is at the hospital. She was having health issues that ended up being fatal. She had been putting them off just like so many times women do. So within 3 weeks, she was buried as well. We were all stunned. Her son was stunned. It was a difficult time. But her sister came walking into the funeral home, and she had a little piece of paper. She had a little white piece of paper, and when she walked over to me, I started crying because I knew what it was. It was the secret ingredient. And until this very minute, nobody knows that I have it. Nope. A couple weeks ago, our oldest deacon's wife, who is a saint, a treasure of joy, we were at Bob Evans and we were talking, and she asked me what the secret ingredient was, and I just like, I was vague. I was just joking and laughing, but I didn't tell her. My kids don't know what the secret ingredient is because it's not my secret to tell. But we have something better than the secret ingredient that will make a banana bread darker and moister. We have something that will change lives, and that is the Word of God, and we don't want to keep it a secret. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So always be ready to tell this news instead of me holding the secret ingredient in. And that's why we're here today, is to figure out easier ways. I know you all are motivated or you would not be here, okay? It is a Monday. Today's still Monday, right? Okay, it's Monday and you have a million things calling you, but you're here to talk about how to share Jesus in a hostile world. And I'm sure we would all agree that we do live in a hostile world. Between traffic, school teachings, gas prices, politics, and a host of other things have everybody on edge. Meanwhile, everybody needs Jesus, and the devil is having a field day. You can just watch the news, and there's another conflict everywhere we look. There are more people ever, so there are more lost people. And so we want to figure out how we can reach the lost. And my ideas may spur you for different ideas. I don't have all the answers. I'm from Jerry Bottom. Okay, I do not have all the answers, but I'm hoping and I'm praying that the little things that I'm going to share with you today are going to spur more ideas. I am a part of a jail ministry team, and it is my absolute passion. We do Bible studies on Sunday mornings. After one Bible study, one Sunday morning, I went with our favorite guard to someone to see a girl. I'm going to call Mickey. That is not her name. But she was in isolation. That's known as the hole. And it is a very small, smaller than a bathroom with a cot. And it is locked down. So we opened up the metal covering on the glass door. And she saw me. And she has been in jail for a long time. She used to love reading God's Word. Not because she wanted to apply it to life. Because she was looking for hidden meanings. And she was trying to dissect it. Well, when she saw me through the window, she started screaming, I don't want to go to church. Okay? And I said, we're not asking you to go to church. We're going to give you donuts. And she went, okay. And so a lot of times people will not scream at you that they don't want your Jesus or your gospel. But, you know, you can give people donuts. When we left that day, she knew that it was the church ladies that had brought the donuts. From prison, the Apostle Paul gave us a great plan for outreach. Turn with me to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, let's look at 3 and 4. Okay, and pray for us. 2, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. He was praying for a door to be open, not to get out. I mean, that would have been me. Okay, write this down. Pray that the doors will open just like they did when Peter was released or another time when Paul and Silas were released. But pray that the door will be open to the message. And so prayer is the first thing. Look at verse 2, two verses earlier. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So in a hostile world, he was in a hostile world, and the first thing he did was pray. And so we do want to do that with prayer. Prayer for the Lord to open the door. And then the next thing he said in the 3 and 4, let me find it. Pray to make it clear and be thankful. No, it was in verse 2. Be watchful. So pray, be watching, and then be thankful for those opportunities. So he had a plan. He didn't realize we'd be here today talking about outreach and the Lord opening doors, but he was certainly in that environment. So we want to pray first and then be watchful. Do you ever pray and then when you go out your door, you get scared when you see what it was you were supposed to do? I know. We'll talk about that in just a second. So in Revelation 12:11, it gives us insight on what to do next. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's a key. Sometimes just having a conversation, my family mocks me because I ask so many questions of people. And like Sarah was saying, she does the same thing. I love to find out, are you from here originally? When we have a server, when we go to eat, like, are you from here? Like, well, what brought you here? And like, I love hearing people's stories. And especially if you're introverted, it is a great thing. If you're like really nervous and you don't know what to say, you start asking questions and people will spill all these things. And then you can say, I'm from blah, 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 or I am my husband's pastor at Fitzpatrick, or I have the opportunity to do jail ministry, or like, do you go to church anywhere? But starting with your testimony, don't think you have a boring story, because you have been bought by the blood of Jesus. So holy moly, that's something awesome. But you don't have to have a huge thing. But I would recommend that for you to type something in your notes so that you'll have it. And you may not be, Hannah and I, we love paper and pen. We love it. And so we like to write stuff down. Julia, I know you are a writer too. To have things down. Some people call it an elevator pitch. And in just a couple of minutes, what would you say if you are in an elevator going to a couple floors? Just have it, write it out, practice it. Practice it in the mirror, but just be ready, because sharing your story is going to have somebody else telling their story, or you ask them to share theirs first. It is the first conversation. And it's kind of hard when that's not your nature. How many of you all are introverted? Anybody in here introverted? You're all nervous being in here. I get you. But just having it planned out is going to be a big step. Speaking of that, one of the biggest things to me to share Jesus in a hostile world, and I'm just looking at the entire world as hostile. I mean, I'm not going to go into Iraq or Iran or a communist country where I can't even say the name of Jesus. But just living in Floyd County, I mean, life is hard and people are aggravated. There's so many things that have people stirred up. One of the biggest things for me to overcome is fear. I pray and I'm even watching, but then when it comes down to it, I get scared. Do you all do the same? But then I think missionaries are living in huts without electricity, with barely enough food, facing daily persecution. And I'm in America and my every need is met. I praise the Lord for electricity and warm water every single day. I have that same good news. And here I stand frozen in my Crocs. I have to take a step and do it. Sometimes I have to whisper my age to me. Or you can do this. And so we have the good news for the sick, the dying, the incarcerated, those who are financially burdened. You ever known anybody or ever been in financial bondage? Parents of young children, parents of grown children, addicts, people going through divorce, widows, widowers. And if I keep it to myself, it only changes. But if I take that step and just make an effort, the Lord will bless it. In my mind, I am bombarded with what ifs. What if I mess this up? What if they think I'm weird? When really, if you talk to me personally 10 minutes, you know I'm weird, okay? Or I'm at least odd or different. You may say it in a really sweet way. She's different, yeah. And I want to be like Todd Gray. Have you ever talked? Heard him talk. Yeah, he could win a tree to the Lord. I mean, I've heard him. I've heard conversations, and I was just wanting to lean in and get some of that, because he just knows what to say. But Todd Gray is not always with me. That would be so weird, okay? Or Paul Chitwood. Mm-hmm. Before Todd Gray, it was Paul Chitwood. He is the missionary of all missionaries, but he's not here, okay? He's not going to go the places you're going to go. He's not going to meet the people you meet at work, in town, at Dollar Tree. My guy's Chris. He wears a green shirt. You know, he's at Dollar Tree. But we're afraid we're going to mess it up. But the only way we can mess it up is if we don't say anything. Have you ever had an opportunity and missed it? Oh, man. when I prayed for that, I was stoked. I chickened out. So to me, fear is the biggest thing that I think can hold us back from sharing Jesus in a hostile world. But then there are some good what ifs I've been thinking about. I'm not even joking. I told these to a coworker, and they're not in my phone, but I have them in my mind. What if the Holy Spirit has already been working on them? What if they are going through a difficult time and they are primed for this moment? And my number one what if is, what if this morning today they prayed, God, if you are real, send somebody to me. And so that is going to be my motivation. And now, besides saying I'm 60 years old, I think about, what if I don't? What if I don't? What if I miss the opportunity? And if we're praying, we're watching, we just go with it. And like I said, the only way, I don't know if y'all talk to yourself, but I have to say, I can't screw this up. I can't screw this up. My friend Nathan Thomas told me one time when the first time I ever led somebody in prison in the sinner's prayer, and I said, I'm afraid I didn't say it right. And he said, you can't save anybody. And I went, you're right. So there you go. I am totally off the hook. And so the only way I can mess it up is if I don't speak up. It gets easier the older I get. I'm going to be 100 probably and still be a little bit nervous, but it does. The more, it's like working out. The more you practice, the stronger you're going to get. A couple of weeks ago, we had just finished up the jail Bible study, and we were coming out, and we were getting in our car, and we usually review just a little things about what we need to pray for, blah, 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 packing all the stuff up in my car. And so there was a woman that came out of the jail, and she had on high boots and a leather jacket and a cute little, like, she had like legging pants with a long shirt over it. And I knew she hadn't just gotten out of jail, because you don't just get out of jail looking like that. So I knew she was there to see somebody. And I had already gotten in my car when I saw her, and I had to say out loud, don't miss it, because I'm tired of that. I'm tired of missing opportunities. So I shook a breath. I got out, and I put my pretend face on. And so it wasn't scary as that, I promise. But I went over and I said, hey, are you here to visit somebody? And she said, yeah. And her husband had been in jail since before Christmas. Her son died last year, and she just found out she has cancer. And so had I stayed in my car, she would have gone heavy-hearted to her car and waited until that visitation. But I said, hang on one second. I told her, I'm sorry. And sometimes, you know, when people tell the story, that's what you just, I'm so sorry. And so I said, give me a second. I've got something for you. And so I keep Bible verse cards on me all the time. And so I had some in my car, and I said, hang on one second. So I went and got her. My favorite one to give out is Joshua 1:9. And I have little bees on it. I'm going to give you a copy of it in a little bit. But bees on it, and it says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. And so I went and got it and gave it to her. I said, here's something for you that you need. And she said, yeah. And I asked her if I could pray for her. And I don't pray like Sarah. And I don't pray like Teresa or Liz or Sitha or all. I mean, I'm not one of those people that go, oh, yes. Oh. But like, you know, she got it done is what you'd say. And so I didn't say any big flowery words or anything. And so, of course, I love to hold hands when I pray. So I said, can I pray for you right now? And me and her both, I said, I'm going to cry. And she said, I am too. So me and her sobbing. Meanwhile, the girls in my team are waiting to see if I'm safe. You know, they don't have a clue what's going on. And so we're praying and we're sobbing. And I will probably never see that woman ever again. But she had something in her hand when she needed it that can change her life. I read a story February 4th. I love Voices of the Faithful, the devotions that were of missionaries on the field. And it's old. I mean, like, it's really old. But I still keep going through it. I'll read other things, but I still, oh, I love this, because it makes me focus, pray for some, for missionaries in certain places. But there was a missionary that had written that he had been praying for this Hindu man, and he was high up there in the Hindu faith in the community. And so he had been praying for an open door. So he gave this Hindu man a wall calendar, 12 months It had one scripture on the top of it. One scripture. He looked at it day in, day out. How many days are there in a year? Exactly, except on leap year. Somebody knew that, okay. But he looked at that scripture, one scripture, not a book, not a video, not a movie, not the three circles, steps to peace with God. Wasn't that? Wasn't the three circles? Wasn't the Roman road? One scripture. He looked at it day in and day out, and guess what? It changed his life. The Holy Spirit stirred in him. And he came, after months, came to that missionary that gave him one verse and said, okay, the Lord has been working on my heart. And now, not only did he eventually, shortly after that, give his heart to Jesus, but he is now leading other people to Jesus. One verse. And so we have, we have a whole lot of them right here. One of the things about fear is we can go to God's Word. Acts 1:8 is one of my favorites. And this is how we can read it, okay? You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We've all read that, but this is what it says. It doesn't say other people will receive power. It doesn't say you might receive power. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And as believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us right now. So, it's going to happen to us. I was going to tell you a story about a boy that was really angry with God, but I'm not going to tell you that. Scythe, what time do I have to be done? Okay, I'm going to tell you a story about a boy. Okay, have you guys ever had an impression at the dentist office? Anybody braces or anybody? Oh, no. Okay, so I work for a children's dentist, and you know some people are just pukers. They are. No. It happens. It just happens. Did you groan? Did I hear a groan from over there? Yeah, he's had an impression. Okay, so our office is here. I'm over here. I'm working on a kid. And then a child, a precious cherub. I just call him a kid. So over here, I hear sounds of puking, okay? And so it's just a thing. A lot of times when you're a mom, you just help, you know. And so I raced over to help clean up the puke. I was getting a garbage can for this teenager. We didn't even know he was a puker. He didn't know he was a puker till that very minute. And it's everywhere. It's a mess. I mean, I only caught part of it, but it was on him. And I don't know what had happened before I got there, but something bad happened before he threw up. I don't know. It was like either in the car or something. He was mad. So we're just chit-chatting. And he wasn't my patient, okay? So my coworker goes to ask our dentist, what are we going to do? I mean, he puked. We cannot take an impression on this guy. What are we going to do? Get into plan B. So I'm just sitting there standing there talking to him. And so he was mad, and plus he's covered in vomit. And so am I. It's just everywhere. So I said something about how the Lord, you know, he's famous for working good things out of bad. Well, it rubbed him the wrong way. And he said, I'm ticked at God, but he didn't say ticked. He said an ugly word, and I felt like I'd been slapped. And I said, buddy, why are you mad at God? And so then, like I said, I don't know what's happened in his life up to this point, but he said, he was talking about how his word, the Bible, was written so long ago, it doesn't apply to today. And I said, well, this morning I read a verse that said that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Do you think that applies to today? I feel like it's a good verse. So he ignored me. He said, well, what about those commandments? It's just a bunch of rules. And I said, well, in fairness, why do you think we shouldn't kill people? Why do you think we shouldn't lie? Why do you think we shouldn't steal? I mean, I feel like they're fair, you know? And so, he was just, and he's still covered in puke, you know? So anyway, we had a conversation, and I was praying, you know, you quit praying, Lord, help me not to screw up this opportunity. And so, but the Lord did bring something out of that. It changed, something changed that day for everybody after him. He didn't care. But he was so mad, and I said, well, here's what, I feel like you're really angry, and it's got to be something else. I believe in God's word, and his family did go to church. I don't know how faithful. I know he had a background in church, but I asked him to just give God a chance and just ask God if he's real to speak to him. And so it changed our relationship. He and I now, like, he doesn't hate me because, you know, after you have that kind of conversation, you don't know if people will avoid you or not. But now we, like, cheer when he comes in because we all knew that it was like a spiritual warfare thing that day. And we cheer him because he threw up so badly, it changed the way we did everything. And so he's, like, strutting a little bit, you know. But, you know, we say, hey, how are you doing? And, like, we're praying for you and stuff like that. So that was just a personal, hostile thing. And sometimes it can come out of nowhere. You just don't even know. But we've got to be ready. You know, we've got to have our armor on. Usually I have my sword in my pocket. But that was one of the things that happens at the dentist office. So I want everybody to stand up. We're going to stretch. Okay, here we go. Here's the song. We're going to sign this song. You know you love it. Okay. I have decided to follow who?
Jesus.
Yeah. Are we going to turn back? No turning back. Okay, Liz, belt it out. Okay, here we go. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Okay, we're going to share Jesus. Ready? I have decided to share Jesus. I have decided to share Jesus. I have decided to share Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Good job. Good job. Okay, now I'm going to show you my favorite way to share Jesus. You can sit down. My favorite thing is if I can get God's word in the hands of lost people, hurting people, dying people, struggling people, I know it can help them. I know that it can change their lives. One verse. You remember the story. Okay. And then when I get it in their hand, they got to deal with it. You know, okay. Even if they throw it away, they got to do something with it. It's their choice. And so I make little Bible verse cards. And it came from Steve Rice when he was our pastor in 1993, about that, the early 1990s. It started years and years ago with those little tip cards. Do you remember? It said, thank you. And he always said, leave a good tip if you're going to leave a Bible verse, or if you're going to leave a thank you card. If they know anything about you, that you have Jesus in you, leave them a good tip. And so that's what it started. And you know how some things just hit you? And they're just, oh, man. And what is a politically correct way to say beat a dead horse? I don't know. I mean, I just go with it. Like, things, I just go with it. So anyway, because I work for a Christian man, he lets me. I used to say, I do it anyway. But he allows me the privilege of giving Bible verses out. And I have all kinds of Bible verse cards. Because I work with kids, and I don't just give them to kids. I give them to servers. I have them in Spanish. I mean, there's all kinds, but just a bunch of them that I have. Like during the NFL, the Super Bowl, I had Super Bowl teams. I had, and kids would ask me for them. I have video game ones. I have Star Wars. I don't have Star Trek. I have zombies. Don't hate me. But I have, is dance big where you live? Oh, I have ballerinas with When I'm Afraid, I'll Trust in God, because I'm thinking recital time is very scary. I have crutch ones and cast ones that have Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, because you're wearing crutches, you need some help, and it's just an easy thing. I have just tons and tons of them. I have cheer cards. I have dance cards. Let me see. I made a real short list. Also, don't hate me. Michael Myers. I mean, he is big at Halloween. Okay? He is big at Halloween. And even with adults. And so I have Michael Myers cards. And they say, when I'm afraid, I will trust in God. And like kids love them. And even parents wear Michael Myers shirts. And I'm like, hey, I got something for you. And so they're like, oh, cool, cool. But I have all the superheroes. Spider-Man's really big. I know y'all know that. Spider-Man, Iron Man, the Hulk, just and all kinds of different, like Fortnite. Man, I knew all the Fortnite. I'm not up on this season, but I have, and it's just such a conversation thing. So I have those. Also, I'll show you, one is my brain. It's just something that I love, so my brain goes crazy. This says, God made you a work of art. You are his masterpiece. And so a lot of kids, where we live, they will come in with hot pink hair. And I love it. So I know I can give them one of these verses because they are artsy. They love. Or if I find out, if they bring in a picture that they've drawn or something, I find out about that. I'm going to give you all these templates. And like I said, I don't have all the answers, but they can spur you on to other things. This is my B card. This is the one that started. No, it really didn't start at all. It started the obsession, but Brother Steve started it. I have Be Strong and Courageous with a guy's arm. I have Spanish ones because we go to the Mexican restaurant a lot. And we go to a lot of Mexican restaurants a lot. And this one is one of my favorites. You're some bunny special to God. Like you put that on a marshmallow bunny and give it to somebody. Man, they're like, oh, I like that. The first time I did that, the UPS man thought I was making a pass at him. He's younger than my kids. He's like, oh. I said, it's just for you. It's just a bunny. Just a bunny. But he was like, apparently nobody had ever given him a chocolate bunny before. And so now we laugh when I see him. I think he thought I was asking him out, but I wasn't. Okay, so here is one of my favorite things. And you know how the Lord will give you stuff, and it might sound corny to somebody else, but really, the Lord just, he inspired me to do this. I call it a cup of strength, okay? I was wondering, somebody was in distress, and we have had a lot of heartbreak in our county in the last year, and then it flooded on top of that. It was just, it's just been a lot of hard things. And so there was somebody I was concerned about, and I thought, what can I give them that can really encourage them? And I text people verses when I'm thinking about them, but I don't have everybody's number. So the Lord inspired me with a cup of strength, okay? So inside this, it has 30 good, strong Bible verses. I mean, you could put Jesus wept in it probably, and it would probably stir somebody. But these are verses that are like, okay, these are some of the verses. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased strength within me. And then there's Deuteronomy 7:21. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God, who is awesome, is with you. Give all your worries to him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Psalm 118:6. So there's 30 verses like that. And they're in a cup. And so I went to my deacon's wife. I said, I've got an idea. I bought my first two at the Dollar Tree. It used to be a dollar. Now it's a dollar and a quarter, but I'm okay with that. But I wanted to give two. It was a trial. Yeah. And so I bought two mugs. But then I asked my deacon's wives. And one of my deacon's wives was having an estate sale for her grandfather. She brought me 40 coffee mugs from the 1940s and 50s. So I filled them up, man. I'm a cutting machine. My kids make fun of me. I'm a cutting machine, you know, fill them out. And I put them in just these little, typically they're clear, but just these little baggies you get from the Dollar Tree also. That's why I know Chris at the Dollar Tree, because I go up there so much. But anyway, there's a little thing on the back of it that says God's word can change your life. That's why you have been given this gift. This cup is filled with Bible verses that will help you. And it says, you know, carry them with you. Hold them up where you'll see them. I mean, I personally, I've got them taped around my mirror in the bathroom, on the kitchen cabinets. People will text me pictures of, this is my verse for today. And so I just pray, and the Lord shows me like crazy who to give these to. So let me see if you've got these people. Do you have new neighbors? Do you have new people at church? Do you get your hair done? Do you go to the bank? It's an endless list of the people that you can get this to. And then I got a message actually yesterday, a lady in Pikeville that I had given these copies to, and she is taking them to cancer patients. And she had given them to, I think, somebody who just lost a family. Because listen, I want to hug you. I love you. But this is 30 times what one text can do. And so we just give them all over the place. And in our church, it's spiraling. At my work, we had a little girl who was crying before she came into her appointment, which is not uncommon because we're a dentist. I mean, let's be honest. But something bad had happened at school. And so she and her mom were praying in the car before they came in because it was just something that had happened in class. So one of my coworkers wanted to give her first cup of strength to somebody. And so now they're ordering these plastic cups with pink straws and all these little frilly things. And so they're giving them out to all kinds of people, which changed it to a jar. I sound like I'm a salesperson. Jar of strength for college kids, because it's cute. Came from Dollar Tree. Okay. I'm not on their payroll yet, but jar of strength. We gave one to a boy the other day. I copied him on blue paper because he's having some hard things. Let me tell you about this story, this right here. So I go, if you can't get them from your deacon's wives, ask the people in your church, do y'all have any old coffee mugs? Because you probably have a lot. It's one of those things that it duplicates in your cabinets. And so you can ask people in your church. When my neighbors have moved, hey, keep me in mind. like when they were moving in town, and so they drop them off on my porch. And so, but when you run out, or a fun thing is my husband and I went antiquing or picking, as we sometimes call it in the mountains. But I was looking for little punch cups, and I went in and said, Lord, that's all I'm here for. Put my hand on what I need. So I found about 30 clear punch cups on this table. Wasn't surprised at all. But they're not tagged. So I go back out front and I said, excuse me, ma'am, but these were not priced. Do you know a price for these? They're back on there. There's about 30 of them. And she went, you want glass cups? And I said, yes, ma'am. I was like, I'm holding that. And she said, here's a box right here. I'll give it to you for $5. I went, do you mean $5 each? And she went, no, the whole box. There were 23 in that. So I'm getting online, and I love telling people a story about it, like the ones I got from 1940s and 1950s. I'm like, this, you can still drink out of it, but I just want you to know this was from the 1940s. Okay, you see this punch cup right here? I figured it up. I paid so little per the internet, and you know the internet doesn't lie. Okay, I found a lot from the 1940s and 50s and 60s regular punch bowl cup. This looks like it was from 1894. Okay. Wow. And see, it was also used as a coffee cup because it's small and sturdier than the traditional punch bowl cups that we use. So I got a story right there. And so I give them, sometimes people are completely surprised, like, why are you giving that to me? Sometimes I'll say, this is your homework right here. This, you've got to read that and you've got to do what it says. And it's just easy because you can hand it. You can't screw that up, okay? I can't screw it up. Here you go, this is for you, right here. Yeah. I get to go to a tea party that's going to be an evangelistic theme. You know, people in the community are going to be coming. So I found teacups, and I have some with saucers. They go in this too. And so same thing. This is going to be one of the door prizes. They're going to be completely surprised. But teacups, this one is the one I'm thrilled about. Okay, so I'm going through my coworkers and made me think, okay, if we can do a jar, we can do a plastic cup, what else can you put something in? And so I'm going through a different antique store, and I found this old measuring cup that you can't even see the lines on. So I've looked over the whole store. So I carry this up front, and it had a dollar marked on it. I was like, dollar's worth it. I just got 23 for $5, so I'm good. So I went up, and it was the lady who owned it, the lady who owned the store. It was her measuring cup, and she said, I had that for 40 years. I couldn't even see what it was. And I told her what it was for. I really thought she'd give it to me for free, but she didn't. But look at that. This is an old measuring cup, and it is a cup of strength. And so there's jars of strength. Like I said, I don't have all the answers, but this is just my thing because we're here to learn how to share Jesus. And the Lord will show you something to do. He will. It's in you, or you wouldn't be here. But it's in you bubbling up. And He will give you power. He'll give everybody else power. Yeah, but He's going to give you power. And then you can be His witness. And let me just tell you something. The feeling after you have been obedient, after you knew that was a divine appointment, and really it wasn't hard. You had to sit on your couch and cut out papers. But all you had to do was take that step of obedience. Kind of some men preacher, well, men preachers are the only kind we have. But a preacher would say, get out of the boat. Yeah, step just out of fear and do it. And it is going to, oh, it's going to bless you so much. We gave, I gave them to flood victims when I got to work with Samaritan's Purse. And do you know what? I was just thinking, Lord, give me an encouraging word to give us. It was the only cup they had. The only cup they had. And so it's just such a simple thing, but it's a way to get the Word of God in their hands. And so people read the fortune cookies. People read those. I mean, they'll pick them out and look. But I give them to college students. It's just my thing. And the Lord will show you what to do. One more thing. Paul said, pray and then watch and then be thankful. You will marvel at how the Lord can use you. Even if you pick one verse, you don't have to. These templates are here, and you can take them. You can take them and go, that was weird. Whatever. But the Lord will show you. If He gives you something like that, please let me know. Because I'm always looking for a way to connect with people to see them where they are. And just get it over there. And how we do that there. Because everybody needs Jesus. We have found since COVID that a lot of people, Jesus seems to be optional. And I've cried many tears over it. Meanwhile, everybody else still needs Jesus. We can invite the people to come back, but still we are on mission. The Lord can use us to reach the lost. I have one more story. And then I kept thinking, Peter didn't have paper. He didn't have notes in his phone. And there was a lady at work one day that, oh, man, you know when the Lord stirs your heart? And I was like, I've got to give her a cup of strength. She was a mom that was kind of, I knew she worked. I thought she worked at the Board of Education. We'd not really had conversations. She didn't seem real outgoing. And so the Lord pounded my heart. You've got to give her a cup of strength. And so I did, because I don't want to disobey Him. I don't want to miss it anymore. So I went and told the girls at work. I was like, I don't know why, but I have to give her a cup of strength. And they went, you know why, don't you? And I said, no, just because the Lord's telling me to. Well, it turned out that her husband was the mayor in one of the devastated towns in eastern Kentucky. And they'd lost their home, too. And he had been making all these decisions. It was just, listen, I can't even explain it to you. If you saw pictures, it gives you a glimpse. But I went out there. Our husbands had been talking for weeks. I just didn't realize it. And so I sat down and I said, I have a cup of strength for you. I want you to read this on the back and see what it says. And I want you to do what it says. And I said, I didn't know why I was supposed to give this to you, but the girls told me that your husband's the mayor. And she said, yes. And I said, my husband's been talking to your husband a lot since then. And so we cried a little bit. And she told some stories, some scary stories about the night of the flood. And so she has that in her possession. The Lord connected us. And so now we're friends. I mean, now it's like different. And like, we never know what people are going through. A lot of times when they seem gruff or when they seem downcast, it's because something hard's happened. And when we see that visible thing, sometimes they don't know Jesus. So can you imagine going through hard times without Jesus? So if He will help us get His word, his love letter to them, then mission accomplished. So I am going to pray, and then we're going to set this place on fire, okay? We're going to set our communities on fire. Please do not play with matches in this building. I don't see... Oh, there's sprinklers. Okay, I mean, like, your communities, all right? So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these women who love you. If they did not love you, they would not be here. I pray that you will burn in our hearts and give us excitement about sharing your word. Your word changes lives, and it's wonderful. It has changed our lives, but Lord, sometimes it's scary and we feel awkward. I pray that you will help us to be instruments in your hand and that we will share the gospel, that you will empower us. We know what we have. It is not a secret ingredient. It's something for us to make known. Lord, I pray that you will help us to walk in your steps, see opportunities, and seize them. And then we will have that peace of knowing we were obedient. I pray that the women in this room will have one idea after another and be excited about sharing your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never giving up on us, and thank you for saving us. Bless these women as they go home, to their churches, their communities. I pray that you would do great things in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.